Following is a paid program, and the views expressed on this show do not represent the views of WJZ-FM, Entercom Communications, its sponsors, or affiliates.
This is Urban Health Beat, the show that feeds your mind, body, and spirit. Here are your hosts, Marilyn Harris Davis and Patsy Anderson.
Good morning, everyone. This is Urban Health Beat, and I am your host, Marilyn Harris Davis, and I'm joined by my co-host, Patsy Anderson, of the Maryland Women's Expo. Welcome, Patsy.
How are you doing today? How'd you enjoy that snow
out there? I know. I'm just grateful to see the sun this morning.
That's true, but I was so grateful. The snow is beautiful, though. It really is really, really beautiful.
I actually
took a half a mile walk in the snow yesterday.
Oh, really? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Did you take pictures? Because I'm going to see.
I didn't take it. You don't believe it, but I did. It was beautiful.
I'm sure it was. Today we have a power pack show, actually. We are going to do a continuation of show that we did last week, and I want to let everyone know that Urban Health Beat is sponsored this week by Patient First and Tuscana MediSpa and Wellness Center. Last week, our featured guest was Dr. Matt Silver, and Dr. Silver is a staff physician with the Baltimore Injury Clinics and a board-certified family practitioner. He is also a freelance physician and wellness educator, and he taught us a lot last week about wellness. He's a graduate of Howard University, and that's the college and the medical school. So we are also joined by Dr. David Arnold, who's also one of my all-time favorite physicians. And I tell him I'm going to be on his couch one day because he is a physician. I mean, he is a psychiatrist.
Yeah, and you told me to show up because I need it one.
Yes, we both need that. So that's after the show.
Both welcome. Yeah.
Okay, good. He is a psychiatrist, and Dr. Arnold is a psychiatrist with the state of Maryland, and he works for the Department of Veterans Affairs. And, you know, that's a whole nother show because our veterans are really, really, really in need of some psychiatric care. So welcome, everybody.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Absolutely. Now, last week we were with Dr. Silver, and Dr. Silver was talking about an epidemic. And I know we've all seen this in the news. It is an epidemic, and it is called the flu. It's funny because something that can, yeah. And it's not even funny, but something that can wreak such havoc has only three letters, right? it's such a short word.
It certainly is the
influenza.
Conversation. Influenza, there you
influenza,
go.
Influenza. Yeah, and he was telling us some of the stats about the seriousness of influenza. So, Dr. Silver, can you tell us, because as we spoke this week again, you said it's gotten even worse this week.
Yes, and this is no joke. This is a serious epidemic. Mm-hmm. Of course, everyone knows that flu is a seasonal infection and outbreak, and we hear about the flu, we don't necessarily get excited by that word.
Right.
But, you know, not all flus are equal in terms of how it's affecting larger numbers of people. And in particular, this flu is probably at least maybe as most are encountering it, probably one of the worst we've had in the last 25 years. In fact, as of just this past week, the CDC has reported that over 80 children have died.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was last week, I think, around 60. So that's, about a 30% increase just in 1 week
for that particular category.
Jeez. And talk about a tragedy. But literally hundreds of people are dying weekly, according to the CDC, as a result of complications of this flu.
Yeah. And actually, when you say complications, I'm trying to figure out what are we talking about? I mean, the flu is a flu. Now, I had a friend, and I think I told you this as well, who went to an emergency center, like Patient First, and they diagnosed her with the flu. A couple of days later, she seemed to be fine. But you were mentioning last week that, you know, supplements also help. Diet helps, okay? But what kind of complications are we talking about?
Well, how do we even know if we have the flu? Because, you know, right. I was sick last week, and my husband's going to have the flu, and I'm like, is this the flu? How do you know?
Well, for the most part, the symptoms are fairly consistent. Low-grade fever, achiness, muscle aches and pains, just a general blah feeling, no energy. And, of course, traditionally, there's some cough and congestion and that kind of thing. Now, flus are caused by viruses. The challenge with that is there's no antibiotic therapy for the flu. So patients who go to physicians' offices, and of course they're going in increasing numbers, are not getting prescriptions for antibiotics for just the flu. The challenge with that is the flu can progress to a bacterial complication, bronchitis, pneumonia, and in some cases, actual breakdown of certain organ and organ systems in the body for those who have very weak immune systems.
Well, what's making this flu different? Because that sounds like any other flu that I've heard any other year.
A lot depends on the resistance that a person has or the population has to a particular subtype of the flu, because each flu virus is different. They have proteins on the surface of the virus that your body either has antibodies against or does not. And that's what makes some of these flu breakouts become epidemics and epidemics to become pandemics.
So it's the strain of the flu.
Exactly. Okay. It's a strain. And also the flu is a moving target. The virus can constantly mutate to a different subtype. Hmm. And that's why flu vaccines are so iffy. Sometimes they work, sometimes they don't.
Right. We've been joined by Dr. Gary Jennings, who's our medical expert on Urban Health Beat and an anesthesiologist and president and CEO of Toscana Wellness Spa and Toscana Medi Center and Wellness Spa. I'm sorry. It's a lot to say, Dr. Jennings. Also, he is president and CEO of QOL Pain Management. So I'm so glad that you're here this week, Dr. Jennings. You was not here last week because I wanted you to also have an opportunity to speak with Dr. Silver about the flu. Tell us what you see coming into your practice.
Actually, I do pain management, but I do see patients come in with the flu. If they have lower back pain and the flu causes them to cough or sneeze, and that can cause muscle spasms and actually can increase their pain in many cases. So, I do see the patients that come in with the flu, and essentially I tell them, why are you here? Stay home. Because one of the things about the flu and it being contagious is that we, as Americans, nothing keeps us down. We try to work. We send our kids to school, we go to work, and we have the flu, and now that exposes everyone else in the office to that particular flu. Right. What do you say to patients that come in, with the flu? Do you suggest that they work or do you suggest that they stay home?
Well, this really gets into the preventive aspect, which is so critically important. Number one thing is to avoid crowds as much as you can.
Right.
And obviously there are some people who, because of the type of work they do, are going to kind of push the envelope to try to get in anyway. But remember, every time you are pushing the envelope to get out into the public for whatever you feel is necessary, be it work or shopping, you're actually putting more people at risk. And so the take-home message there is, if you have flu-like symptoms, and most people kind of know what they are, do yourself a favor and do the larger community a favor by staying home and getting the rest that's going to help your body to get over this faster.
I did see a comment on Facebook from a nurse, and she was explaining that when you go out with the flu, and we know that, there's a percentage of people that are going to die from that flu, and you get on an elevator, you might not realize you've infected, maybe three of those 20 people, and then those three infect someone else. So you really are contributing to the epidemic.
You're so right. And that reminds me of something called the butterfly effect, which some people have heard of. It's a mathematical model. And what it suggests is just one little thing can make a huge difference in a larger population over time. So one person exposing a few people, let's say in an elevator, to the flu can become a multiple multiplier over time. Literally thousands of people could be affected by that one person. Wow. That's what makes this such a tragic situation when people aren't doing what they can to protect themselves and the community.
Absolutely. Callers, you can join our discussion. Ask any questions. This is a great opportunity. We have three brilliant physicians here, 410-583-1057. That's 410-583-1057. Let me ask you, Dr. Arnold, now, being a psychiatrist, there's a lot of flu fever, for lack of a better term. I'm sure that that's a misnomer, but flu fever going on. Are people, afraid of the flu? Are they panicking? Do you see any of that?
At this point, I think people haven't been panicking because I think most people are unaware of the statistics and what's involved. So and that's one of the areas where we can get into kind of a blind spot where people don't know the statistics and they continue to do behaviors that put people at risk and lead to the kind of thing, the butterfly effect,
Right.
And most people think that you have to be coughing or sneezing in order to spread the virus, but actually it can be spread by aerosol just by standing in a room with a person.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I'm thinking the cough. Well, one demographic that I know is very conscious about the flu are young moms. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, that's a group of women that I'm around, and I'm hearing them say things like, I would say, hey, you want to go to dinner? They're like, no, I don't want to take my baby out. So they really have gotten the message. Maybe most of us have it, but I know that demographic is definitely thinking twice about taking their baby out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And crowds. I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of, it's ironic that you go to the doctor. Let's say someone's in your office for pain, a pain-related, rheumatoid arthritis, let's say. But someone else is standing next to them with the flu. Now they're in the doctor's office in the waiting room, and now we've got the virus being spread.
Yeah, and I mean, it's so funny you mentioned rheumatoid arthritis, because a lot of the medications that treat rheumatoid arthritis will reduce your immune system. I mean, that's
I was about to say that. Oh, like, you're already compromised.
Yeah, that will is the reason why, you know, you take these, some of these medications to reduce your immune system, so your immune system won't attack your joints, but your immune system can't protect you. So now you're in the office, or you're, gee whiz, you're in the emergency room for one thing, and everybody else in there has the flu. You come out.
With the flu.
Yeah.
Wow. Well,
you better be going to the emergency room, because you have a real emergency. Their question earlier, Marilyn, was about preventative, and I always think about this with all the doctors in the house. Every year we know there's a flu season. It's coming. Why are we not doing putting more messages out there about how to prepare our immune system before the season comes? We do it with allergies. You know, people are out there taking their Claritin 6 weeks ahead of time. You know, they're getting their house ready, whatever that might be, when we know the allergy season's coming. This flu season comes every year. And what are some things we can do ahead of time?
Well, you know, I think it's human nature. People tend not to react, let's say, in a prepared way. They tend to be responsive to something that's already in motion. You're absolutely right, though. I mean, we know that the flu season tends to occur this time of the
year.
Why is that? Well, there's the extremes of hot and cold, or at least changes in weather that make the immune system a little bit, you know, more challenged. You also have people gathering for holiday events and all that. People tend to go into crowded situations. With the coughing and congestion and things that are going on, it's not by any means a surprise that more people are getting exposed to more infectious agents in the community. Now, what can a person do to protect themselves ahead of time? Well, there's several things. Number one, anticipating the flu season, you want to get more rest. You want to try not to push the envelope.
I was going to say that as your number one.
Number one
is learn how to sleep and learn how to rest.
Exactly. Just kind of scale it back. You don't have to do everything that you're invited to in terms of social activities and that kind of thing. Number two, a lot of people's diets are quite iffy. Now, they tend to eat the wrong things, and they tend to eat more of the wrong things in the holiday seasons. And we know what happens. You know, you start the pig out and Thanksgiving and holidays
out
and all that. Well, guess what? You're adding more to your system that's burdensome to your immune system, unless you're eating really well.
Right.
You know, a lot of fresh fruits and vegetables, keeping the fast food to an absolute minimum, drinking plenty of water, taking your supplements, which most people don't do.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Because of that, you're overloading with things that are not beneficial to the immune system, and you're undernourishing.
Well, we are listening to the media when they're going, there's all this fear, get your flu shot. That's what you're hearing. So pre-flu season, you're hearing, get your shot. Maybe we need to put a little bit more energy into conversations like this pre-flu season.
Absolutely. And the flu shot is a whole nother conversation. But we do have a caller on the line, and I don't want to keep him waiting. Neil from Columbia. Welcome.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Neil.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
I want to know if I'm lucky.
Well,
okay.
And what did you win lotto?
Okay.
No.
So I got the flu in 1989, and I've never had a flu shot.
Right.
So I'm wondering if I'm immune to the flu, or what's the deal?
I'm ready to take that.
Yeah, absolutely, Dr. Silver.
Mm-hmm. The flu shot is an iffy proposition. The reason it is because the way they develop a vaccine for this year is looking at last year.
Right, right.
So they identify what the subtype of the virus was in 2017 to prepare for 2018. The problem with that is the flu virus is always mutating. So this year's subtype, H1N1, was not last year's subtype. That means when you're developing a what we call an antigenic reaction, meaning the particles of the protein that you okay, are protecting
against. Okay, we're the
doctor
against. Speak.
Yep. bottom line is we can't identify this year's flu sure. season in advance.
Well, that's probably why the epidemic is so bad. Yes, then, exactly. if it's not the strain.
Exactly.
And it's a guess. They're taking an educated guess.
And the best yes. probability is somewhere between 10% and 30% effectiveness.
Sure.
Yeah.
Which means 90% to 70% ineffectiveness.
Which probably means that you've been lucky, Neil, right?
I eat right and so forth. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that, sure that helps.
I mean, even if you get the flu shot, there's no guarantees you aren't going to get the flu, so we're really playing the odds here, and that's important for people that are compromised. If you're an asthmatic, if you have other type of conditions, you're willing to play those odds.
Absolutely.
Right. Yeah. Dr. Jenner?
I think on that,
let me follow up real quick.
Okay. Sure.
So if I had the flu once years ago, did that do anything to help me not have it anymore?
Only against that strain. Against that virus. And then the advantage of getting a flu shot every year is that each year you get a flu shot, you get you develop immunity to that particular strain. And over the years, if a new strain comes up that's similar to those, it may be effective.
It'll identify
that. It may protect you.
Yeah, that makes sense. Thank you so much.
But if a new one comes along that is not, you haven't been exposed to, then you're vulnerable.
I've never had a flu shot.
Yeah. Neither have I. But go ahead, Dr. Jennings.
Well, I was going to say the caller's lucky, and I hope he does play the lotto. But, as you were saying that, you know, you stole a little bit of my thunder, but... Mm-hmm. You know, we're saying that you get the flu shot, you get for a length of time, not forever, though. So I wouldn't think that the 1989 flu that he had will protect him from a flu 30 years later, because immunity doesn't really last that long. But, I mean, you need to think about really getting one. Certain jobs are actually asking that you do get that. But then with that caveat, you say that, you know, you have a 10%, you have a 90% chance of getting the flu. So people say, I got the shot and I got the flu. You have a 90% chance of getting the flu if you get the shot.
Anyway. Absolutely.
But one of the things I didn't hear was, like, wash your hands. I mean, you don't think about it. You touch a handle, you press the down button, on the number one button on the elevator. Everyone presses that button.
On the way in, I shook Dr. Silver's hand, and I was wondering, I was hoping he wasn't feeling badly about it. I was kind of monitoring that.
I know, and you open the door, all these people that have come through. I know when I was a little girl, I mean, even when I grew up, my father, you know, was a physician, and every time I went into his office and touched the doorknob to get into his office, every time I came in, he made me wash my hands, and he made me put alcohol on my hands after I washed them.
Yeah, I also saw Patsy, when you mentioned that, she started putting alcohol
on her
hands.
She went to the Well, another thing to think about, too, in your family, if you have someone that is compromised, like I have a mom who's had a massive stroke and she's trying to heal. Yeah. So when you walk in her door now, we have something there so you can wash your hands. We have it on the kitchen countertop. We have it in our home. So creating all these spaces of awareness are important, especially if you're around people that do have that compromised immune system. So be conscious of that in your family.
What about the use of Lysol and those type of spray disinfectants?
Well, anything we can do to disinfect the surfaces that people are exposed to on a repeated basis is certainly very, very important.
Absolutely.
One thing I like to share when we're ready is to talk about 1918, not 2018. What happened in 1918?
What happened in 1918? And we'll talk about nutraceuticals, what we can do at this point. We're going to go to a break, but before we go to a break, I just want to ask you, because laughter's the best medicine, doctors, what is the strongest vegetable?
Oh, give us a second.
You don't answer, Patsy.
I don't know. What is the strongest vegetable?
It's a Brussels sprout. I eliminate her because she's gotten really, really good at answering these.
It's fun.
You listen to Urban Health Beat. We'll be right back. 410-583-1057.
Medical marijuana. We've all heard of it. But how does it work for your pain? And how do you get a medical approval for it? Medical marijuana is a pain alternative to the use of opioid drugs. It's not news that the use of opioids to relieve pain could lead to addiction. Marijuana has proven to be an effective alternative to the use of opioids for the